Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by a friend, Pastor Aaron Golden, who's the pastor in New Bern, North Carolina, at Union Point Wesleyan Church. And Aaron, first of all, thank you for joining me. It's good to have you.
Hey, Grayson, it's good to be with you, man. I'm glad to I'm glad you asked me that to share in my story and just hang out with you a little bit. So.
It's good to have you. Hope you're doing well today.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm trying to get adjusted to elevation here. You know, I'm a flatlander on the East Coast, so being in the mountains, man.
The elevation, yeah, it can get to you. Well, at the time of this recording, Aaron is with us here in Harrisonburg for a few-day revival, three-four-day revival. He'll be sharing some at the church, and at the time this recording will play, that'll have already happened, but you'll hear some of those sessions on Front Porch Talks and also on the sermon page. But Dad also wanted me to have you in addition for you being here for revival, to share a little bit about your church plant there in New Bern, North Carolina, and probably a little bit of your testimony also go along with that. So if you just want to start out telling me a little bit about where you grew up and where you're from. I know those, but for those listening.
Yeah, totally. Now, I grew up, I tell people I grew up in Harkers Island because when I say Straits, most people are unfamiliar with that, especially in the area. Maybe that's outside of 25 miles outside of that. They don't know what I'm talking about. So I say Harkers Island, which has a lot of familiarity with your dad, but I grew up there, grew up in a family business, and real tight-knit family, and so have had a lot of experience over the years, just life experience through construction, through what it's like to be an entrepreneur and own and operate a business and work with family. And so that's been a great thing. Right now I'm a father of four. I'm married to a beautiful girl, Lene Golden, and we have four kids, Eliza, Jude, Elise, and Evelyn. And they're from 8 to 4 months old. And so right now, man, that consumes a lot of our time and my focus. But we're pretty excited about what God's doing with us in our life. And over the past 3 years, it's been a pretty crazy journey in this whole thing of church planting. And a lot of that in my background and backdrop of growing up, you know, most of the people in Harkers Island or Straits or Carteret County, North Carolina, are fishermen, if they have been there. And my father was a carpenter and mason, so I took a different track than most of those around there, but a lot of those things, man, have just really curtailed into what God's called us to do with, you know, seeing the church built and those kind of things. So it's been pretty good on that side of things.
Well, thank you, Aaron, for sharing a little bit about where you grew up and a little bit about what you have going on right now. It sounds like you have your hands full, but a lot of excitement.
Yeah, that's usually the way people describe it.
So just talk a little bit about how a carpenter's son, somebody who was in the building business, so to speak, got into ministry or became a pastor.
Yeah, you know, early on in my life, I was, you know, born and raised in the church. I wouldn't say born in it. My mom finally took me to church when I was probably about 3 years old, and so we actually grew up, you know, we started going to church with your dad and you guys there in Moorhead City, at a work there that God was doing, and so through that, just really was very close to, you know, not just religion, but people who really had a desire and expression to be in relationship with God and what that looked like. So I think most of my life just being very in tune and sensitive to, you know, God's prodding and moving and voice and just his spirit and a hunger for that, really. So although the environment I grew up around was tumultuous in religiosity and legalism, a lot of that relationship, I was very fortunate to be in with people that just desired relationship over religion, and that just really made a difference in me. So, you know, kind of being raised in a family business, it's an unset expectation that, you know, the next generation is the one that will provide for the previous generation, and that's kind of where you put all your apples at and in the basket of for retirement is the next generation. You raise them up. You know, it reminds me of a lot of the Middle Eastern culture, how it was very apprenticeship-minded, and that's kind of the way a family business operates, is just you're building up the next generation. You have a a long track ahead that you're shooting for. And so while my dad would never impress that on me, it was something I felt the mantle and weight of, you know, that I was to be the one that would bear that. I love building. I mean, I have an eye for it, design, and was good at building. Still am good at building. But I really felt like probably about 10 years old, man, that God really had something in my life, just a call. I mean, I remember vividly sitting in a revival service at the time. And I couldn't tell you who was preaching, but I just remember very vividly hearing him speak the word and not really sure even now I could tell you what he was talking about other than Jesus. But I just had this yearning inside of me to just speak the word. That's all I knew. And so even at that young age, I felt something in my heart strongly that God was just molding me and shaping me for something later in life. And so through the processes of growing up in the business, getting a degree in business, and then finally becoming someone who ran the business, and I really think God just let me do the things that I wanted to do so I would realize how much I needed him. And so it really needed him for satisfaction. So probably about 6 years ago, I just got to the end of my rope. You know, I'd served in the church in every kind of capacity I could, pretty much to try to please God and get him off my back, you know, let me do what I wanted to do. And it just proved that for me, for my walk and journey, surrender really had to involve me giving up everything to his redemption. You know, every piece of me, the trajectory of my life. And I think that's the case for all of us. But for me, it was the business and carrying on that family name. And that was something I just really held dear and wanted to do. So I finally gave in to the Lord and said, you know, God, whatever you want to do, I don't know what that looks like. I have a feeling I know what it'll probably be, but I know it'll probably be in some kind of quote-unquote pastoral ministry. But I'm just open to doing whatever you want to do. I'm kind of broken. You know, I'm just in that place of need and desperation. And that was in late 2011, and God just started working in us, and we had no idea what was going to happen, but we had the opportunity to serve there at the local church we had been part of and serving in, and in multifaceted ways. And they were generous and graceful to us to be able to let us do that. And so through that journey, man, it's just been one step after the other, which led us kind of where we are now. So it was one of those things. It was unsaid in my life. I knew it was coming. But, you know, you never expect to find yourself in a place where God calls you usually. So.
Well, Aaron, thank you for sharing your testimony and what God did in your life, even as a 10-year-old boy in a revival service, yeah, as you said. Yeah. And oftentimes, it isn't necessarily who's speaking or what they're speaking about, other than, like you said, Jesus, the main thing. But just, you know, giving you the idea that, hey, yeah, I want to serve God like he's calling me to that. And sometimes we might fight it, or maybe fight it's not the right word, but just resist it a little bit.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we know that whatever God calls us to do, in order to be completely fulfilled in what he has his best for us, then we must do what he calls us to do. Mm. And I was thinking about a story I know Dad, he mentioned, I think, to the people of our church this past Sunday when he said, I have a friend, Aaron, coming, and mentioned about your grandfather, your mom's dad, yeah, who was the pastor at his church growing up.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he was an influence on you also. And
yeah, yeah. We just had it's a rich history there, you know. I think that's, I don't want to say it's necessary, because there's plenty of people with great testimonies and really came from a hard life. But, man, we were blessed enough to have a lot of faithful people around that. Just, if anything, even if they didn't tell you what to do or how to do it, the most important thing they were doing was praying for you the whole time. And which I think you probably know with your own family.
Yeah.
That means a lot, you know.
Yeah, it definitely, when you come from a Christian family or have Christian family members, it makes you want to live up to kind of what they've done, continue the legacy, or continue the family tradition, so to speak, Christian tradition.
Yeah.
And I know one of the other things I've heard Dad say before, and I'll, if you want to tell it, I'll let you instead of telling, but I know that you were instrumental in your father coming to Christ also. Yeah. So if you want to tell that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's one of those stories I think people probably around you know far better than, you know, you recollect yourself. But I was about 5 years old, and, you know, I mean, I don't vividly remember the scenario. I remember it kind of like a haze of a dream. But my dad was kind of far from the Lord. He had had a bad experience with his side of the family with just, you know, severe legalism, and it just did everything that it could do in his life to press him away from God. I don't think he was mad at God. I think he was just mad at people more than God, and that, you know, that you superimpose that on God a lot of times. And so, you know, Dad had been seeking God, and I think had been leaning in to a degree. And was going to Sunday school, wouldn't stay for the service, kind of when that was a thing, you know. And your dad was actually teaching Sunday school at the time. And I think that was because of their friendship. You know, Dad just wanted to be there in that. And so he had started leaning into God's grace, no doubt. But one night my mom had me, you know, bedtime prayers, and I just prayed that, you know, the Lord would save my dad. And we had no idea that he was standing kind of like in the door frame of my room. I mean, we had no idea he was there. And later that night, my mom and him were, you know, going to bed, and she could tell that he was really struggling. Just sensed something was, I don't want to say necessarily wrong, but for him, he was just giving off a vibe that was not normal. And so she asked him what was wrong, and he said, I have a son that can pray for me, but I feel like I can't pray for him. And it was in that moment, I think, he felt overwhelmingly that conviction of God's presence in his life, and he decided he wasn't going to run from that any longer, you know. And so, well, it's a great story because, you know, here's a son praying for his father and a father coming to his father in the midst of it. It's just an example, man, of just how God's grace is so instrumental. It's the only way that he draws hearts. And just a five-year-old boy just praying, God can use that to draw people's hearts to himself. So it's just encouraging, I think, for a lot of people to hear that because it makes us realize, you know, we don't have to be anything special for God to use us and work. And so, yeah, that was a pretty incredible story for us, something we recollect on a lot.
Well, and I know, too, that's a great story to let people know you're never too young for God to use you and for you to have an impact on somebody's life. And you mentioned how God kind of called you at 10 and then how you went and studied architecture and took over the family business and then got involved in the local church. But talk about kind of how God gave you the idea, I'm sure is the best way to phrase it, let you know that you needed to plant this church in New Bern, North Carolina, man. How that came about.
Yeah, you know, looking back on it now, I didn't really discern all this probably at the time when everything was taking place, but we have been involved, and I have been through my whole life just about in church plant scenarios. You know, one, when my mom started taking us back to church and getting in church, we found ourselves at a church plant. That's what it was. I mean, you didn't really call it like that. It's not really as, at that time, was not like the sexy idea like it seems to be for so many now. But then after that, I was about 16 or 17, we planted a church. I mean, it was just called a New Start. I mean, it was just a few families that wanted to see a work done in a nearby community about 30 miles away from where we were. And so it was really a big piece of that taking place and became an integral part of that through our family and just that involvement. So all these puzzle pieces, man, just experiencing that. Now when I see that, it was like just like the building piece when I was talking about that. So many pieces of that have become a part of the ministry God's used me for. But then I didn't realize how much of those pieces of the puzzle he was going to connect later in my life in what we call church planting. So I was serving at the church that we had been a part of and served in, and then to become a part of support staff there. And God was just stirring in our hearts, man. I you know, at the time we were doing some community like life group development stuff, and I just had a map of our county, which the place we planted in is not the same county, but it's just kind of how God starts. So I just had push pins of where we were going to have groups meeting, and I just felt like God said, you know, what if I wanted these to be churches? And I was like, I have no idea what that means, you know. So you just kind of shelf the idea, and we were in the Nazarene church at the time, and I ran into the Wesleyan district superintendent, which we had connections back to Harker's Island with, but he and I never had really any conversation. I ran into him at a restaurant on Harker's Island. Just happened chance, right? But I think it was a divine moment that God instrumented. And he had heard through some friends, you know, of what I was doing, and said, man, I really would love to talk to you. And in this conversation, he didn't know that about a month prior, Lene and I had went to the airport in New Bern, a regional airport, to pick up her family. And we had made it a habit like that 4 years before that, where every year we would just kind of take her family when they'd come, because New Bern is a very historic area. And we'd go downtown and eat and shop and hang out on the riverfront and that kind of thing, which is a change of pace. And this specific time in 2013, about a month before I ran into the DS friend, we were walking downtown, and I got this thought in my mind, you could live here. And I was like, I don't know, what does that mean? In New Bern, why would I want to live here, you know? And we had some family ties there. My mom's family's from Vanceboro, which is nearby. But anyways, we're sitting here at the restaurant eating, and he came up to me on the way out, and I just kind of dismissed the thought, you know, that he would want to talk to me. I wasn't really looking for anything. And he came by the table on his way out, and he said, I don't know why, but I feel impressed to ask you to be praying about something we've been praying about as a district for about 8 years. And I said, okay, what's that? And he said, we've been praying about New Bern, North Carolina. To which, in my mind, you know, he had no idea, but I was kind of taken back to that moment walking downtown and hearing the, knowing that it was the Lord, and hearing vividly, you could live here. And I was like, what are the odds of that, you know? So I went home and told Lene about it, and she didn't say anything about the, you know, remembering what had happened, but she did. She had that similar experience. And so we just started walking steps, man, from there. We just started having conversations, which led to assessments, which led to, you know, just all of a sudden one day we're in the middle of fundraising for a church plant. And it was a long process, but it felt like it just overnight we were just shifted in a gear that we really, in a lot of ways, I didn't feel prepared for. And so from about mid-2013 to the end of 2014, we finally got our family moved there, and it was a leap of faith for us, about 45 miles from where I grew up and raised and had a life in, and moved there, really didn't know anybody. And so God just began to use that, man, but it was something I didn't look for. Church planting, just God made it find me, you know, in a lot of ways. So, and like I said, I felt like, now I see how God built that in my life for that trajectory. So,
well, that's cool, Aaron, and especially like you said, you had had a tradition of taking your wife's parents, your in-laws, yeah, there when they would come to visit, and then you mentioned about how God gave you the thought, well, you might live here one day, or you could live here one day.
Yeah.
Then you ran into the, I believe he said, the DS of the Wesleyan Church in Harker's Island. Yeah, I don't think it was a coincidence either. I think, like you said, it was a divine thing, something God had in mind and arranged to happen. So, Aaron, if you would just update us on Union Point Wesleyan Church there in New Bern and what God's doing there in that community and that church plant now.
So yeah, we September 27th, we will celebrate official 2 years since our launch. And we as a family have lived there 3 years in November. But man, we've seen some pretty incredible stuff. I don't want to say it's, you know, so many people get ideas in their minds of how things should go or how they may go. And we fell subject to that to a degree, and it didn't go how we thought it would, but it went how God wanted it to go. And so we started out with about 8 to 10 people and just getting people in our house just however we could do. And this past spring, we really have seen God do a work, and we've been bumping up right at 100 people. And it's been pretty incredible how God's interwoven us in the community and the people that have been there. We've seen a lot of healing brought to a lot of people's lives, and we've seen people come to Jesus in miraculous ways, and we've seen people return to Jesus in crazy ways. And we've seen people that, you know, have been hurt and put out by the church have find restoration and had kind of given up because of experiences, and seen them brought in and God make them new and repurpose them and re-put them in places that they never thought they would be in again. And so I feel like we are in a great season just of a guy really shining his light there in the community. And so it's been one of those things. It's just, it's been a brick by brick kind of thing. There's been no explosion. It's just been slow, steady, and adding people day by day, just seeing people come to Jesus. And so, I mean, really, that's our purpose. Our mission there is, we've always, since day one, has been lifting Jesus up, lifting others up. And so the whole thrust and focus of the ministry is really, number one, being in relationship with Jesus. Number two, being in community with, of course, God and others, because we think that's important. And then being on mission to overflow God's glory, just in their lives, you know, in their family, in their workplace, and every facet of their life. So, and seeing that happen, man, God's just really been knocking our socks off with how he's been ahead of us, working on his behalf. And we've just been, you know, pleased to be a part of what he's doing and just playing a little simple part in a greater kingdom work. So.
Well, that's exciting to hear, Aaron. I hadn't even gotten the latest update on Union Point Church. And it's exciting how he's grown you from 8 to 10 people to 100 people, and will continue to grow, I'm sure. Would you mind just sharing maybe website information or contact information? Maybe there's somebody listening today who's in the New Bern area listening online, or somebody that might know somebody in that area that might be interested in the church.
Most definitely. Yeah. We try to stay pretty involved in social media. So our handles on most every facet, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, or I'm trying to think of anything else, Vimeo, whatever it is, is usually just Union Point. You can look up Union Point Church and find it. Also on the website is www.unionpointchurch.com, all lowercase, no space. You can find out plenty of information on there as well. And if you go there, that would be the best calling card as far as number, address, that kind of thing. So right now we meet at the YMCA, local Twin Rivers YMCA is the name of it, 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And so that's, if you know somebody in the area, send them there, 10 a.m. at the Twin Rivers YMCA. That's where we are usually at.
And I'm sure, if nothing else, you would appreciate people's prayers for Union Point.
Yeah, most definitely. We really covet the prayers. Everybody talks about money in churches, you know, and especially in our early work like that, everybody's always talking about the church needing money. Really, the church needs more prayer than anything. And so, yeah, just as God leads it in your mind, just pray for us, because we are, every church is on the front line, but a new work, man, it's almost like a mission work. You're right on the edge of seeing things that, because you're engaging people that are not normally in an established church environment. So there's this whole wave in the front where you're involved with people where they are that are not normally engaged by other established churches. And so you get to see a lot of cool things, but it does bring with it a lot of spiritual battle. So definitely keep us in your prayers in that.
And Aaron, thank you. And is there anything else you'd like to share that we might not have covered already, or I might have forgot to ask you?
I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
Well, I appreciate you joining me again today. And do you mind if I just close in prayer for you and for Union Point and the people of New Bern?
Yeah, I would love that.
Lord, I just come before you today, and I thank you for what you've done in Pastor Aaron's life and in his family's life, and what you're doing in New Bern, North Carolina, through Union Point Wesleyan Church, Lord. And I pray you continue to bless Aaron and his family, as well as the church there and the community, Lord. Continue to use Union Point to reach out to New Bern, Lord, and to help hurt and broken and lonely people, and people that have been hurt by the church, or people maybe who don't have any experience with church, Lord. Just pray that you continue to do what you're doing there and continue to expand your kingdom and your grace through Union Point there in New Bern, North Carolina, Lord, and just guide and direct Aaron in that, Lord. And I ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Aaron, again for joining me. And I meant to mention this at the beginning, but Pastor Aaron Golden might be a little bit familiar to you if you've listened to any of the Project Galilee sessions that we have once a year in North Carolina, which I record and post on Front Porch Talks, and that'll be in the beginning of November. So hopefully look forward to hearing from Aaron again. Thank you, Aaron.
Hey, thank you for having me, Grayson.
And thank you for listening to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. May God bless.